DI Plus is recorded at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday evenings in front of a live chat room audience on Pride48.com.
Hi, this is Terry. I have a 2-year-old that wants to say, let's kick this pig. Let's kick this pig.
Kick this pig.
That kind of sounded like that, right?
Ethan, one more time. Let's kick this pig.
No.
Okay, that's all you get.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Robitussin DM. Robitussin DM treats a cough that is caused by colds, flus, or other conditions. I've got nothing. It's got a lot of dextromethorphan and methofor. Welcome to DI Plus. I'm Daniel Brewer, and I am joined by the Robitussin DM. No, I'm joined from the Robitussin DM. Oh, God, this intro. I'm joined by... Hey, look, it's Adam Burns. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Daniel. Wow. We haven't been gone that long.
I'm hopped up. I'm hopped up on goofballs, I think.
Apparently.
And
how are
just
you?
Completely.
How the hell are you, Daniel?
I was not expecting Ethan. Is that his name? Ethan? Carrie's 2-year-old.
Yes.
I was not expecting that. That was so cute. I love that.
Everyone could have their children.
Can you just have your children call in and do
and
that?
Start
that would be
the
awesome.
Show. That would be great.
It would.
In fact, next time, Carrie, just have him do the whole show.
The sponsor and the whole thing there. What did he didn't say it in the right order though. He's like, let's kick this. He's like, this pig be kicked or something,
like that. I don't know.
It's like he was watching Game of Thrones or something. He was just doing it in the very... You know what, Adam? It is 10:17 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and regardless of whether I have a cold or not, that can only mean one thing, that we are streaming live on Pride48.com, and we are joined by our lovely and extremely sexy chat room audience. Adam, who do we have joining us this evening?
We have Good Humor Penguin, Carrie, Kathy Bacon, Nowhere TJ, AFK, Sater69, The Whore, That Blue Jeans Guy, Toppy Smelly, Cutting Wood, AFK, Mib4QK5N1, and Wit, who moved right at the
Excellent.
Last moment.
Well, you know, as he is wont to do. The chat room is interested how Google Translate, you know, because Google Voice provides a text translation to all phone calls. So I don't own the Google Voice account. You do. So is there a transcript of that phone call?
There is, yes. I don't know that I have it pulled up right at this moment.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I was tossing it to you so that I could mute myself and cough. Right, so I'm just going to explain this right now. I've been wrestling with a cold, and so I'm going to frequently be muting myself in order to cough. I apologize if for some reason I miss hitting the mute button.
Did I make you sick?
No, actually, I didn't get sick until this past Friday. I felt great on Thursday. I went to bed, and then Friday I woke up with like a scratchy throat, like a sore throat, and I was like, "Oh, that can't be good," because everybody at work has had these sore throats and stuff. And so I left work early on Friday. I came home like maybe I left at like 3:30. I came home. I got home by 4. I fell asleep until like 9 o'clock on Friday night. I felt like crap. I felt like crap all weekend. It kind of broke on Sunday. So on Sunday, at least I wasn't shivering and feeling like crap. And then, right now, all it is just an annoying cough. So it's an annoying cough, and my voice kind of has that, it sounds like I'm smoking again, that kind of voice. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sorry that you, or if you don't feel well, I'm sorry. If you do feel well.
No, I feel fine.
I'm glad you feel better.
Yeah, I have a cough.
You sound like crap.
Well, thank you, Adam. I'm so
You're
glad.
You're welcome.
So Adam, something really important happened between the show. You know, we took a week off. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Did we?
Yeah, the reason.
I felt like I was with you for like days.
I know.
Was
it's amazing. Amazing. And we could talk about your fabulous trip in New York City had you not gone on that other show and basically told about the entire fucking trip.
No, I
on
didn't.
That other show.
He asked me questions. I knew you were going to bring that up. First of all, there are some people that probably don't listen to Cocktails and Cream Puffs. And did you listen to the show? Because most of the show was me talking about my uncle.
I was in the chat room.
Yeah, I knew you were, but I didn't know if you were listening. And I didn't know if you were there the whole time. I didn't have a
computer. I had to leave to go record Walkahol. So I listened up until I could because they were late. You guys were late starting.
Well, he kept asking me, what am I supposed to say? I'm sorry. I have a gag order on the trip to New York. I cannot speak about that.
All right. So one thing that Kathy Bacon mentioned that I will just say, when you were with us, when you and Mittens were with us in New York City, we kept posting out photos on Facebook and other places on Google Plus and on Facebook. And people were, you know, responding to the photos and you know, oh, it was great. You guys look great. And you're having fun and yada, yada. And then you left me. You went to Buffalo and it was just like a complete, like nothing. You guys didn't tweet. You didn't post anything. It's like Mittens posted one picture of the falls, which I'm not even convinced he was there. It could have been a stock photo of the falls. It's like, but nothing. It's like, what the fuck did they do to you in Buffalo? It's like, is there just no internet connection in that city? Or something happened that you fell off the map? I was not the only one to notice this. Kathy Bacon also noticed this. So
there was not much. There was, okay. Buffalo was mainly seeing Joey and Donna and Wendy and meeting Gary Stiglitz Myers III or whatever his name is. Gary Andrew Stiglitz. It's a very hard name to remember. Anyway.
It sounds very pretentious.
He's a very nice guy. He's really nice. But there was not, I mean, I am not saying anything bad about Buffalo. I enjoyed the trip. But other than Niagara Falls, okay, the aquarium was like a couple of Mark's goldfish tanks put together, you know, with some. So the two things we did in Buffalo were Niagara Falls and the aquarium.
And the aquarium.
So, I mean, there wasn't much to post. And I'm not much of a poster normally anyway on social networks. Right. I was only doing it because you kept posting and stuff. And I guess I felt like I needed to post stuff. So. That was really it. But
all right, so fine. So let's just we'll talk then. You came into New York City. We met up with you. It was very annoying meeting up with you that first day because I don't know what your deal is.
Well, I think you do. You've known me long enough. You should know what my deal is.
We're there. We're just like. I'm texting you. I could actually read the text, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I read the text. You're like, okay, we've landed and we're heading off. You know, we're heading to the hotel. And I was like, all right, well, we're already at the hotel. Have you eaten? Did you eat on the plane? And then you completely ignored that and just went on. So here, Robert and I are starving. We don't know whether you've eaten or not. And when we finally were sitting in the hotel bar, which, you know, also serves food, so we're like, all right, we're just going to order some food because we're starving.
Yes.
So we ordered some food. You still won't answer the question.
I did not see that other one. It came. Okay. I have an Android phone. Hangouts displays both the messages and stuff over Hangouts, like over a computer or over whatever, internet, you want to call it.
Right.
And it had come in as two separate messages.
Because you didn't answer on the one, so I tried to send it to you on the other.
I didn't see it. I got confused and was looking at the one that did not say, have you eaten?
Regardless, so we met up at the hotel bar, and that was the very first time I met Mittens. So Mittens' very first impression of me is just that, you know, there's this fat guy sitting there eating at a bar. You didn't even want to go there because you're just like, oh, my phone is dead. We were going to stay in our hotel room for a half hour so I can charge my phone. And I'm just, look, I moved to a table. The bartender actually like saved us a table that had an outlet so you could charge your phone.
Yes. And I had greasy... oily spinach dip.
Well, you know, it was a bar, whatever.
It's like they took some Crisco. I don't know if you guys know what Crisco. It's like they took spinach with a little bit of cheese in it, and then like put a dollop of Crisco right on top of it, and then melted it. This is the greasiest cheese. If it was the cheese, that maybe the spinach was greasy. I don't know, but it was greasy. Anyway, that might have been the low point of the restaurants.
It was. Well, the spinach dip was not that good. It was all right, but it wasn't.
And that's what you recommended. You're like, oh, get the spinach dip.
I said they had crudité, which is with the spinach. And my it was a spinach artichoke dip. Mine was not that bad. Yours didn't seem to be that good, but it didn't matter because, you had already prepped me that Mittens was one of these people that wanted to have every second accounted for. And so I feel bad because my whole take on New York City is I don't take cabs. I take public transportation. So I always just plan on showing up someplace early. And there's a million bars that you can just sit at and have a drink and wait. So it's like, I always just try to get to place early and I'm never really rushing or whatever. And I take it as it comes. And it seems like, I probably upset Mittens about that whole thing.
No, you didn't upset. He does like to have things planned out, but he enjoyed spending time with both of you. And he had already done everything. So, well, just really quickly what we did. So we went to Bobby Flay's Bar American the first night.
And what did you, you had the worst of the meals.
I
think you've already talked about this on the other show.
Yeah, I stupidly got the pork and it tasted like it had rolled around in some cumin.
Yeah.
And it was bitter.
The rest of the three of us had a fabulous meal at Bobby Flay's.
And then Saturday.
Which by the way, the bar tab was almost as much as the meal, I think, that night. Because I was drinking.
No, the bar tab was... No, I paid the bar twice as much.
No, not twice as much. The bar tab was $200 and the meal was $300, right?
$350.
Oh, okay. So it was, because we all had our foo-foo drinks there. What was her name? Hillary Guys was the name of a bartender there.
Hillary.
So if you go to Bobby Flay's, if you go to Bar American in Manhattan, make sure you ask for Hillary Guys.
She was very good. And Mark had some kind of frothy something. I don't remember what it was called, but it was made with egg whites.
Yeah, with egg whites and stuff.
Like frothed egg whites. And she actually beat them right there in front of us.
Yes.
And it was actually taste better than I thought it was going to taste.
I was drinking Moscow Mules.
And we went to some bar that night.
We went to Uncle Charlie's that night. So Uncle Charlie's, were both like dead tired. I got up.
We
at
were.
Three.
I was really.
So you
tired.
Both were all. So Uncle Charlie's for those you don't know is it's not a dive bar, but it is the closest gay bar to Grand Central. And if you live in Connecticut and you when you go to take the train out of New York after about like I think like an 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock on a Sunday evening, the trains go from running once every half hour to running once every hour. So if you miss the train, you've got an hour to kill before the next train. So Uncle Charlie's is a few blocks away. It's a piano bar. So it's a gay bar. You go up there and there's the front room, which is a tiny bar. And then there's the back room, which has a, grand piano, somebody playing. And then people come up and sing really bad karaoke.
I was going to say
horrible,
if you want to hear
karaoke.
Tragic.
These are
Broadway-ish
people.
Queens. Who...
These are twinks that they weren't all twinks. These are people that fancy themselves Broadway caliber.
They want to be on the Broadway version of The Voice, but couldn't quite make it.
And they do this. They do this that horrible. I Sater probably is going to disagree with me, but that fake vibrato that I cannot stand because it's A human voice may have natural vibrato in it, and that is fine, but when these people actually force it and make it like fake because they think that's the way it should sound, and it's just like, I hate that. And I was like, I love being there because I love laughing at these people. But you guys
and
were having none of it.
You wanted me to get up there and sing. So
I did.
That
I kept
make
trying.
Fun of me.
I offered to do a duet with you to show them how to do it. Like, we can get up there and do, Summer Lovin'. Or, something.
I should have offered to do Oklahoma with you because you could have sung the lyrics and I could have just done the slap.
I'm just a girl who can't say
Oklahoma.
No. Oh, okay. That one.
That one.
Yeah, you should have. I would have been happy
to do
that.
I'll do a duet with you. I'll clap.
I'm happy to do that.
I'm really good at that rhythm.
Mark and Ed from the All About Me podcast are saying that they might come to New York at Christmas time. So I will take them to Uncle Charlie's. I'm sure they will sing.
I'm sure they will
do,
sing with you.
We will do a Melissa Manchester song at Uncle Charlie's. Anyone who is Scott, is Sater69, if you ever come to New York and you want to go to Uncle Charlie's, I will go. We'll sing there at Uncle Charlie's. It'd be great.
Okay. So anyway, we did that. Saturday, we walked around, saw some stuff, and...
You walked around. We played TK... TS Roulette. We went and got our tickets for Avenue Q on Saturday morning.
Avenue Q was fantastic. The main guy, really cute. Mm-hmm. Well, I thought
they were all off a little bit. I don't know if they were had this cold that I have, but yeah, they were all just a little bit off, but still good. I mean, it's a great show. It's off Broadway, but it's still a great show. Avenue Q is a great show.
And I've said this before, but I just couldn't quite figure out. My brain couldn't quite figure out who to look at, the puppet or the person. But you know, to be fair, and I think all of the actors on the stage, their facial expressions and their movement of their body mimicked the facial expression and the movement of the puppet. So even if you were looking at them or the puppet, they were kind of doing the same thing. So,
yes.
Well, you know, that was good. That,
yeah.
And he was cute. So, I mean, I liked looking. So that was really, I was kind of, I felt a little uncomfortable because this family, this adult, these adults right next to us brought their two children. I think it was two, maybe it was one, but I know there was at least a little girl who looked like she was like 7 or 8. I seem to remember seeing two children when they walked in, though. That made me feel a little uncomfortable. The sex scene with the puppets, and there's like an 8-year-old girl.
They had left before that.
Sitting like, did they leave?
Yeah, they left. They left when the, because the sex scene isn't until,
I didn't know they left. I thought I looked over and they were still there after the intermission. But anyway.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, and honestly, whatever. It's puppets. It's not like there's a puppet penis up there. It's just puppets, you know, rolling around under a sheet.
Yeah, but still. I mean, they're like saying, fuck you, and all this kind of stuff, and there are children sitting. Anyway.
Whatever.
And then we met Brian and, Brian and Dan Barry and drum major Kevin.
Kevin. Yes, we have Brian and Kevin.
And we went to kind of just a restaurant I picked willy-nilly. It was pretty good. Glass House Tavern.
Right, the Glass House Tavern, which was, I had a fabulous
respectable.
Meal.
It was better than my cumin pork, I'll tell you that right now.
I had the Pricks Fix dinner. Right?
I had that as well, not the same prefix, but
The Pricks Feast and whatever, and I had a lovely meal. My dessert was the best of any of them. Because it was I forget what it was, bread pudding. Yeah, it was awesome.
It's like the go-to dessert on Chopped. If they don't know what to make on Chopped, I don't know if you watch Chopped, but if they don't know what to make with their basket ingredients on Chopped, you better believe they're going to pull out a loaf of bread and throw all that stuff in a bread pudding. So that's all I think of when I see bread pudding is, oh, they couldn't think of what to make, so they threw everything with some eggs and some bread.
That's not true. So, we had a delicious meal there. And then we went from there to the top of the Rock. So we went up to the top of 30 Rockefeller Plaza, where it was quite nippy.
It was.
That day I decided not to bring my jacket because it was in almost 60. But by the evening time, and unfortunately, there's an indoor observation area. There's two floors of indoor observation, and then there's two floors of outdoor. So we were up in the outdoor for a while, and then it just got really cold, and then came down. I've now done 30 Rock, you know, top of the Rock, for both in the daytime and the evening. And people were saying on Facebook or on Twitter when I had said that we were going there, they were just like, that the nighttime is the best time to go. I kind of disagree. I liked it a lot more during the daytime. So
if it was a nice day outside, I think you're right, because if you have a cell phone camera and that's all you've got, then they turn out grainy.
The nighttime photos.
Yeah. The nighttime photos do. So, yeah. And so then Sunday, we had lunch.
What? You're skipping over a whole, you know, a whole area of torture there. After we left 30 Rock.
There's no need.
We went to
Boxers.
Fine. Where, wasn't it Boxers?
Yeah.
Down in Hell's
Boxers.
Kitchen?
Yes.
Where
we went to some place that was so small, I don't even remember the name of it, but
barely
five of us could, the six of us could fit in there. So we immediately turned around.
Went out to Boxers, which if you need, all right, so if you're ever in New York City and you for some reason don't feel bad enough about yourself, like if you don't have a low enough self-image, you should go to Boxers because everyone in there was rail thin. 19 years old, real thin, and just whatever. I mean, the bartenders in there, they wear boxers and no shirts, so that's their shtick, right?
You know, I have seen cuter people than were in there, but yeah, I mean,
I've seen individually cuter people than were in there, but it's like the overwhelming majority of those people in there were just like, damn, I'm old and I'm fat.
I didn't notice that. But you know, the name of the place is Boxers, so of course the bartenders were all wearing nothing but boxers.
Right.
But you know, I want to say this about New York. Now, I know I don't see you as a kind of wild person.
Okay.
So it could be that you just didn't take us to the wild and crazy like clubs or whatever. But I've been to a lot of places in the South that were like foam parties and boys in underwear walking around and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but you specifically said you didn't. All right, so here's what happened. And Robert even made a comment about this, about, in New York City, they charge, you know, for the sodas and for the mixers and, you know, for the mixers and for the alcohol. And, you know, it cost a lot of money. And where we were, right, Hell's Kitchen and down near Times Square and down near 30 Rock are the most touristy areas of the most expensive borough of New York. So where we were at. Sorry, I had to cough. Where we were at is not cheap, all right? Where we were at is, and it is not indicative of New York. You got to remember, and this is something that always, like, the scale of New York City is something that is difficult to wrap your brain around. New York City is fucking huge. The entire time you were there, you never left Manhattan. You were only in Manhattan that entire time that you were there. That is only one of the five boroughs of New York. And it's not the largest by far borough of New York, right? It's like that several of the boroughs of New York are much larger than Manhattan. And, you know, it took us, what, 35 minutes to get from the hotel down at one end of Manhattan up to, you know, Grand Central. Yeah. So it's like
several
times. Think about that, right? That you can go to, you know, you live in Brooklyn and you're going to come in, right? That's like, you know, it can easily be an hour long trip on that. It is huge. New York City is huge. And yes, there are amazingly seedy sections and there's all kind, anything you could possibly want is there somewhere. It's just that where we were, it was a very touristy, very upscale area that you're not going to find that kind of thing.
Well, I'm not talking about trashy necessarily. However, I am surprised that New York and LA both don't have bars that have strippers. However, Atlanta, Georgia, in fact, maybe the only, well, one of like two or three cities that has fully nude male strippers. I don't understand that. But anyway, regardless.
You didn't ask me for fully. I mean, it's like if that's what you wanted.
That. New York does not have that. We already had that discussion.
I'm sure they do somewhere.
You said, anyway. So then Sunday. So it was very lovely. My favorite part of that was meeting Brian and Kevin. Dan and wait.
Yes, you're right. Brian and Kevin.
Thank you. And Danbury. I'm like, where does Dan come in? they left. And then the next day, we went to Mario Batali's restaurant for lunch. And I'm thinking that might have been the favorite of all of us of the restaurants that we had over the weekend.
It was. Maybe. It was. And you're forgetting the whole Central Park jaunt before that. But yeah, we went down to, they were having a parade. A Scottish Day parade or a Scottish parade. Some lady was trying to hand me shortbread on the street. Oh, would you like some shortbread? I can't do a Scottish accent, but would you like some shortbread for the parade? But I was tasked with going and finding the restaurant where Jean is going to have, because Jean, my friend Jean, is going to have her wedding in Central Park in September. So I went down to the area where her wedding's going to be to take photos of it.
Very fitting of Jean, by the way. It's a cute little...
Yes.
I don't know what to call it. It's like this wooden pavilion thing.
It's a gazebo. It's a very large gazebo.
Thank you. And, you know, at the time of year when she's there, it's going to be filled with green, lush vines, you know, and everything. Yeah. And she'll probably have flowers in her hair and like be very. Yeah.
So it's at the Copcot in Central Park. It's a lovely, cute little area. We took photos of that. But where she's going to have her reception afterwards, or her whatever you call it, the brunch afterwards, is at a place called Brasserie 8.5. And it was really cool. So it was like this little restaurant that we went in that they took us through the back rooms that you can rent out to show us so we could take pictures of them. But that's a really cool little place there, the Brasserie 8.5. So I'm looking forward to going there for Jean's wedding.
Yeah, so we did that. Are you sure we did that on Sunday?
Yeah, we did that Sunday morning.
So then we went and had lunch at Mario Batali's. I don't have much to say about it. Otto was the name of it. Or Otto, or however you say it.
It was delicious, and it's funny if you're I highly recommend it. Matter of fact, I'm going to take my brother and sister-in-law there. But it's near Washington Park, so it's down near Christopher Street and Washington Park. And we were there a little bit early, so we kind of hung out in Washington Park for a little bit. It was a gorgeous day,
and watched a guy.
So you're in the gayest area.
Grand piano.
Right. You're in the gayest area in a gorgeous little park in the gayest area of New York City. And of course, some guy comes into the park pushing a baby grand piano. He's pushing a baby grand piano.
Got that in there.
Just pushing it down the street, rolled it in there.
He doesn't have a vehicle. I mean, we're all speculating. Did he roll it from his apartment three blocks away?
He doesn't have a garage or something to put it in. He's like, it was a baby grand that was on wheels, and he used a bucket to sit on to play, you know, like one of those big plastic PVC buckets to sit on and play. But he was, I have video of it. Yeah, he was there just playing. And but there was the lady that was making the bubbles next to us. Like, she had the huge thing making these big bubbles there. It was a really cool little park there. So
yes,
it was very pretty.
The restaurant was great.
The restaurant was
great. I highly recommend it. Otto Inoteca Pizzeria.
That fat man knows how to cook.
Yes.
That Mario Batalica. And also, you'll notice that the prices at that restaurant were quite reasonable compared to everything
up
in.
It was probably the cheapest.
Right.
Oh, well, we did have that hamburger lunch the day before, which was good. Oh, Kathy Bacon, she'll mention it in her voicemail that's coming up.
Yes.
But she said I had an onion sandwich.
An onion sandwich.
And my burger had onion confit, which I guess is onion like boiled in its own oil. I don't know. And I mean, I know what confit is, but onion doesn't have its own oil. So that's anyway. And then it had an egg on top of it. So you just couldn't see the meat. But that was very good. Anyway, so then Mark and I went to, so we left you guys. Wah, wah. Very sad.
Wah, wah. All right, I want to address this. Toppy Smelly in the chat room says, I hear you got to sell your firstborn to be able to afford and eat in New York City. If you're going to eat in the most touristy area of the most expensive borough of New York, yes, there you have some very expensive restaurants there, but there are lots of places to eat in New York that are not expensive at all.
Now I will say this. Mark and I eat at fancy restaurants here because we do a restaurant every week, and we do a fancy one maybe once a month. And we can spend $150, $180 for the two of us here in Arkansas.
Yeah.
So the most we paid while we were in New York was the Bar American meal, which was like $350. Yeah.
$350 for four of us.
For four of us. So, you know, that's no more expensive than I would pay at a fancy restaurant here.
And the the Mario Batali restaurant was actually quite reasonable.
The pizzas were
$14. You got your own pizza for $14, and you know, it was a very good pizza. Very good. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So yes, you left us, and then you fell off the radar. I don't really care about Buffalo. I don't even want to hear.
We went to Wicked. And
oh, you know, that bothered me so much.
It was really good.
I know that Mittens wanted to do it.
Yeah, it was really good. We enjoyed it.
It annoys. You know, by the way, just as a side note here, I don't have my tablet. I realized that about 5 or 10 minutes into the show that I don't have my tablet, so I can't play the phone noise.
Okay. Ring.
I don't know what to do about these celebrity death phones. It's. I keep muting myself to cough like every 3 seconds, so I don't know maybe we'll play the death phone calls, the winners of the death phone in the contact segment. So we'll just play them as our voicemails. Okay. Mittens wanted to go see Wicked because he was competing with someone. And here's the thing that annoyed. I'm just going to say this. You've already heard me say this, but I'm going to say it nonetheless, which is you paid a lot of money for tickets to go see Wicked. And I see people do that all the time. I see people go to, you know, oh, I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to go see Book of Mormon. I'm going to go see Wicked and I'm going to go see The Lion King. And, you know, you find out that, you know, they're paying like $150 or $200 for each of these tickets that are going in there. And I'm like, you do realize that the reason that that play, right, the reason that Wicked was so awesome, the reason that Wicked got all the great reviews and became, you know, a staple of the play was because the original cast on it was awesome, right? Adele Nazeem and Kristen Chenoweth, right? So you had this great original cast who have long since left the building. They're no longer there.
Yes.
It's not even their understudies that are now performing. It is the understudies of the understudies of the understudies that are showing. And yet you're still paying the price to go and see Kristen Chenoweth.
Okay, so
that's what bugs me. It's just like, I don't have a problem with spending a lot. I just bought two tickets to go see Hedwig and the Angry Inch with Neil Patrick Harris, and they were $130 a piece. And I'm fine with that because I'm going to go see Neil Patrick Harris perform Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I would never, ever pay $130 a ticket to go see Bob Stevens perform Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Okay, but now wait. Wicked is a good musical because it's a good musical.
It is, but it's not $200 a ticket.
And
good.
And the thing is, you know, I was actually, first of all, I have not seen it with Christian Chenoweth, or I mean, whatever right. her name is.
But three doors down was Tyne Daly performing a Terrence McNally play.
First of all, that was about someone with AIDS, and I don't watch things with AIDS in them. So that would have been the first thing. I don't watch sad things because I don't know where people die or have died. And Mark
four doors down is Bryan Cranston.
Anyway, I love Wicked. I had seen it before. He wanted to see it, and I didn't want to risk not going to something that he did not enjoy. We had a very good time, and in fact, other than the fact we had a blocked view, which really pissed me off since we paid so much,
yes.
but they didn't tell us it was blocked when we bought the tickets. We couldn't see part of the stage. But anyway, we saw the acting, but we couldn't see the whole. Anyway, so I was kind of pissed off because the programs that they sell.
You
don't
said that
have
I heard
the
this.
Cast
right. They have the original Broadway. So you can see that they're perpetrating their fraud already by going, like, yeah, here.
I'm like,
here,
so
have
is the cast that I saw today in this? And they're like, oh, no. Then why
because
they can't buy it? I liked the
why?
Cast.
And why?
I liked
well, why?
The cast
well, okay.
that I saw.
I'm just saying, but, I'm not saying that it's not a good play, and I'm not saying that it's not worth seeing. I'm just saying that you're basically paying original cast prices to see something that is no better than the traveling show, which the traveling show is fine, but the traveling show is not $200 a ticket.
Right, I paid $45 for my ticket to
see,
the one
and
in
that's
Memphis.
That was my only point. Now, but, that all being said, I realize that Mittens wanted to do that, and that was great, and I'm glad that you got, you know, and it wasn't my money. I'm just saying, I see people do this all the time, and it really irks me that it's like, you do realize that's, you're not, when you're seeing Book of Mormon, the original cast of Book of Mormon has long since left the building.
But we knew that. We weren't stupid. We knew it.
I know that. You knew that because I kept saying
so,
it. But that's right. I realize
know you don't want to hear anything about Buffalo, but I have to say.
No, I was teasing about
I didn't
Buffalo.
Mention this. I didn't mention this. And we're not talking about my other thing on the list,
okay,
so it's fine.
Great.
But first of all, I want to mention, I once again won the lottery and got vouchers for another plane trip on this trip. Just have to mention that. So I've got a $400 free ticket.
Which is why you left us in a restaurant.
So,
or in a bar. That's why you were late getting there, because you bumped your flight.
It's worth
and then
it.
Wouldn't
it's
answer the question
totally
about whether you've
it.
Eaten or not. No, so it was perfectly fine to have us starving.
So I let you know well in advance that we were going to be late. You got a later train and got to sleep later. Anyway, we get to Buffalo, and we proceed to the rental car place.
Yes.
And
didn't you tell the story on the other place?
I don't know. Anyway, I'm walking down the line of rental car companies, and they're all there, you know, fresh, friendly faces, you know, all the lights on, everyone lining up. I'm like, oh, I'm looking for Enterprise. Can't find Enterprise. Get to the very end of the line of all these rental. They're all lit up and hopping. No one's at the Enterprise booth.
No one.
The lights off. There's a sign. That says, if you're here between 8 and 12, go down to the little booth in the parking lot. So we went down to the booth in the parking lot. No one's there. So long story short on that one, it was my mistake. However, it's very irritating.
Yes.
You got a
smoking car and...
yes.
Now,
Enterprise closed at 10:30. Our plane didn't arrive until 11:15. I did not know. Who knows that a rental car place at an airport is going to close early?
Right. And I found out all about this because that was like your last post. Then from that point on,
I died,
you just
right
fell
there.
Off the...
So then...
Do they not allow photos in the in the Cocktails and Cream Puff studio? I mean, I'd like to see like that.
Oh, that's right. I only see it
on like suits meetings and stuff. And from my view on the seat and the suits meetings, when I look at it, it looks like a crack den. It's got like peeling paint on the wall. It does, because you always see it from Joey's seat. You always see it from Joey's perspective. Look, you know, he's sitting in a corner somewhere and it's shooting up. It looks like maybe it's in an attic or something, and it's like got some peeling paint.
It's on the
paint
third floor.
And behind, so I wanted to see. I was like, certainly this is not, you know, the whole studio. I want to see, you know. And did you take a photo? No, you didn't take any.
No, I didn't actually. We went to Niagara Falls with Joey.
Donna, I wanted to see how Donna was doing. He didn't take a damn photo of Donna.
So they had to leave. He had to leave early from Niagara Falls. He left and Joey rode around with us because we were in two cars because Donna had some kind of stomach thing. So we do the things, and it was very cold. And everyone, Mark kept making the comment that, you know, if we'd just gone in May like I suggested, Because also, everything was closed for Niagara. Maid of the Mist doesn't run until May. Cave of the Winds, or whatever it is, doesn't open until May. You know, all this stuff doesn't open until May,
yes.
You know, but it was beautiful, though. I mean, it was really beautiful. Niagara Falls is beautiful. We did. Obviously, it doesn't close. It was still running.
Yeah, they didn't turn the falls off.
Although they do. Apparently, they do sometimes freeze over. A part of it was frozen and there were big chunks of ice in the actual river. But
those are called Canadians.
Maybe. And you could see Canada.
I can see Canada from my house.
I saw a turnip head, actually. And that was fun. We had a really good time. We had a really lovely dinner that night and after the aquarium. And Gary is very nice guy, I just have to say. Lovely dinner.
So he's actually there?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was at the dinner and we recorded. Sorry I didn't take any photos for those of you who wanted to see the notorious studio. And then the next day, Gary volunteered to drive Mark and I around on a little tour of Buffalo. So he took us around and showed us all the buildings and
excellent
everything. We went to the art museum. I did take photos, but I didn't post them anywhere.
Well, there you go.
Of the art museum, but not of the studio. Anyway, that was our trip. We had a lovely time, and I thank all of you. I enjoyed seeing you.
It was lovely to see you, and it was lovely to get to meet Mittens.
He liked all of you.
I felt bad that I, you know, basically just disappointed him the entire trip just by not having things planned out better. Because at one point I was just like, we keep walking down the same three streets. And he was like, yes.
It's okay.
And then he looked at me and went, it's fine.
Didn't specifically say anything to me about it. But when we go on trips, if I make the mistake of not planning stuff out, I hear about it.
Now, I posted something that day, like fun fact number three, Mittens hates being called Mittens. Mittens never told me that. I wrote that. I thought it was funny to say. So no,
I don't know his feelings on it.
Yeah,
I hate him being called Mittens because I feel like he has a name, Mark, but he has never said one way or the other. So I do not know.
Certainly, he realizes it is a term of endearment.
Yes.
I think I did a mixture of Mark and Mittens, depending on the situation. Like if we were in a crowd of people or whatever, I didn't like scream Mittens, like, Mittens, you know. But yeah,
no, just, you just played the sound effect. You didn't use your voice at all. You just had the tablet with you, and when we get lost, we forgot the best part of the trip.
Uh-oh, what?
We went to the Toys R Us and saw Jeffrey or whatever his name is.
We did. We saw Jeffrey the giraffe.
And had a chat in front of the Haagen-Dazs and the
We
Toys
did. We
R
stood
Us.
In front of the Kathy Bacon Memorial Haagen-Dazs ice cream counter in Toys R Us because they sell dipped cones there. And all right, fine. It was boring. I didn't know what else to do. We had time to kill.
You're like,
and
welcome to New York. Let's go to Toys R Us.
All right, fine. Let's just move the show forward. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn. So it looks like our looks like the old technology segment this evening has a couple of questions that have come in from our astute listeners, or what do we call them? Astute listener? I don't know. Our lovely audience. I don't know what we call them, but let's listen to this first question that comes in from our listener right now, shall we?
Oh my gosh, it's my favorite podcast, guys. It's kind of a tech question, just so you're ready. Well, actually, I think it is a tech question. Okay, because, you know, it's not June, so there's no dipped cones, but I can guarantee you I've got my eye on the calendar. Okay, so I bought a Fitbit, and I posted a picture of it on Facebook, Face, and Guru said, requested that I reach out to y'all, and I asked Adam, are you bringing your... And this is all uppercase, tens to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's the question. The second question is a serious question about a website. So, okay, I went to GoDaddy, and because I know of no other way to do this, so I go to GoDaddy, and I buy a website. Well, I don't know what I bought. I bought a name. I bought a
domain name.
Three words.
Yes.
And I'm assuming they're ran together with a .com. Okay. So I bought Takeport and everything. And then I provided it to someone And so I'm going to have access to it. And I'm going to garden, and I'm going to load pictures to it. But can you guys explain to me what I did, like how this works? So, okay, I gave the name to Hat. I attached it to some servers or something that he told me to. And now what's the difference between doing that and just going to, like, blogger.com and using that? So, because I'm really clueless. So, anyway, I guess I'm still waiting for the password so that I can start loading stuff there. And I definitely will tell everyone what it is. And I hope for it to be, like, fun and funny, and hopefully we can post, like, you know, just little clips or something like that. I don't think we're doing an actual podcast or anything with it. Conflicting schedules, and Hat is extremely busy. But anyway, I'm just wondering if you could just explain to me what you did, because it's kind of hard to talk to him. He's in Mexico.
Excellent. All right. So let's first things first, as they say. Adam, are you taking your eSTEM device with you to Vegas?
It's not
an eSTEM device.
It hurt. I want to say that after we had that discussion, I thought, you know, what the hell?
I'll try it. You tried it as an eSTEM device.
It hurt.
Well, you know what? In fairness, so did your Weenie Slicer 9000. But you still brought it to Vegas.
I saw a video one time of a guy. First of all, if you attach one electrode to your penis and one to your finger,
yes,
your hand gets a shock of a lifetime. But anyway, I don't know why those two particular body parts. Like, on my back, it was fine. On my leg, on my arm. But you touch it to the tip of your finger and the tip of your... No way. Anyway, it hurt. I saw a video one time of a guy using an eSTEM device, and he went from soft to hard and coming without touching himself.
Yes.
I don't know what kind of pain he gets off on, because it did not even feel good. Although, I will say, there were different pulses. There was like a pulse that hurt. And then there was kind of a, I can't even do it. It's like a kind of that. If that had gone on for longer, that might have felt good, because it was less direct pain. It was more of a kind of a vibratey sort of feeling.
Uh-huh.
But there's no control. This is a little, you know, $15 little, you know, icy
hot thing. And the eSTEM devices that you saw, just to be clear, because people are saying in the chat room, just to be clear, no, Adam does not have an eSTEM device. What he has is a TENS unit, which has something to do about massage something.
Well,
it is not a sexual device.
No, it is. It's a battery powered thing that has a, it attaches to a pad, like a sticky pad, and you put it on somewhere on your body that you're having muscle pain. And it does shoot electricity into your muscle, and it causes your muscle to contract. And, it's just a little battery, like a watch battery. It's amazing how strong those are. And your muscle literally, like, involuntarily, like, spasms. And on your back, it kind of feels good. But it's very similar to that eSTEM device that you're talking about. Okay. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they feel the same or not, because I don't have one.
No, the eSTEM device is actually much more complicated, and they have much more fiddly bits to deal with. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So if you're going to take... Now, it's interesting to me that Guru Nudi is asking whether you're going to be taking it to Vegas or not. Does that mean that Guru Nudi is going to be in Vegas this year?
I don't know.
Well, I don't think he listens to our podcast anymore. I think Guru Nudi only knows about your TENS unit because Fatty played it on the beginning of his show.
Did he?
Yeah.
Imagine
that. You and Ramble Redhead behind in perpetuity. So the second question that she had is, she bought a name or three names smushed together at GoDaddy because that was it. So what you did there is you bought a domain name. All right, so there's two pieces to a website. There is a domain name, and then there is a hosting site. Both of these things are sold at GoDaddy, but you don't have to buy both things in the same place. There are many places that will sell you domain names, and there's many places that will sell you hosting accounts. So without getting too far into the weeds, it looks like what HatM has set up for you is just a WordPress on themayocast.com. Has just set up a WordPress blog there. And yes, you're just waiting for a password, because you'll click on that little login there. And that is basically a WordPress is a...
Which you could have done WordPress for free.
Right. WordPress. Well, He did. Yeah. I mean, it's.
He just redirected her domain.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. So you're paying for two different things, right? You're paying for the hosting account and you're paying for the domain name. If you redirected it to him and everything, he may just be using his existing hosting account. Like, I would do that, right? So, like, Pride 48 is hosted on the same server as other things or whatever, and it's like, if someone else had a domain and wanted to host it there, I could host, you know what I'm saying? So that's probably what he did. HatM is hosting your, you know, he's taking care of your hosting piece of it, and he's just set up WordPress for you there. The difference, real quickly, the difference between that and setting it up on blogger.com or you know, wordpress.com or any of those things is really just the control, right? You have total control of your own hosting system like that. Like, you can set up WordPress however you want with whatever. Whereas on Blogger, on WordPress.com, you would have to use, you know, templates that they have. And so it may, you know, it's going to have their things embedded on it that you're not going to be able to get rid of. So it's really just a control issue there. But no, I mean, what it, you know, WordPress is used by a lot of people. It's very popular. It's a CMS system. It's a basic CMS system, a content management system. So there you go. That, I hope that answers your question.
And a hosting account really is just a computer sitting in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah, it is a computer that has it. Yeah, so but both of them have to exist, right? What you did was you pointed your domain name to go somewhere else. So the entire internet works off of a series of numbers, right? We call them octets. So well, in IPv4 we call them octets. But so I'll just keep it in IPv4 without going into IPv6 just to keep this more simple. So everything on the internet is a number, right? So if I wanted to get to Google, right, I could type in their IP address. Which I don't know right off the top of my head, but I could find out. Let's see.
You could open a command line and say, ping, right,
it doesn't matter. Right, so Google is on. So if I wanted to go to Google, I could just open up a browser and type in 74.125.226.160, right? That would take me to google.com. But what happens is that is difficult to remember, and you know, Google actually may have several servers. They may have an entire range of IP addresses. So what happens is we've assigned a naming system out in the universe to say, hey, you can now use this word, and we're going to behind the scenes universally, you know, assign that to whatever number you want. So the number, the 74.125.226.160, is where it is hosted at. The name, google.com, is their domain name that they've registered separately, and they've said to the Universal Registry of Domains, I want, anytime someone types in google.com, for you to send it to 74.125.226.160. See?
By the way, if you want to get to dubiousintent.com,
yes,
you can go to 66.147.240.193.
Yeah, but we're on a shared hosting account, and I don't know.
It'll take you to the root. That takes you to Hostmonster.
Never mind. It'll take you to the root. Right. So anyway, and then we have a second question that has come in also from Kathy Bacon. Let's listen to that one, shall we?
I'm wondering if you could slow that message down a little bit for Scotty. Okay. Sorry about that, Scotty. Scotty!
Excellent. No, we can't. Sorry.
Those just went together. That's the only reason.
They went together like Rama Lama Lama Ding Ding Dong. Sorry. So the only other thing that we have in a tech segment is the Heartbleed thing. And I don't want to get way down in the weeds on that.
Right.
There's a lot of things that have been going around lately. Like, hey, you know, you need to make sure that you change your password on all these sites and every site. So what happened is there was any site that uses a secure connection, which is most sites. Any sites that you would have to log into, most of them will use a secure connection. You can tell.
Isn't it because, HTTPS?
Right. You can tell because it will start with HTTPS, and in Chrome, it will show up in green, meaning that it has a security certificate behind it that has verified that you're actually talking to the website you believe you're talking to. There was a bug in the OpenSS. Why can't I think? It's called TLS now. What was it? SSL is the old one. Secure socket layer. Yeah. So OpenSSL, there was a bug in the OpenSSL library, which is used by a lot of people in a lot of different places, like probably at least a third of the web is using this library. And it basically allowed allowed nefarious folks to pull the memory, the active memory of the server in 64K chunks without leaving any kind of trace and then reconstruct it on their end. So The thing that is going on is that every server that uses this could have been compromised. We have no way of knowing because this particular attack leaves no fingerprint behind. There's no kind of trace on it. So everyone is now assuming
from RAM, right?
Yeah, it pulled everything from RAM. But everyone is just assuming at this point in time that that they're moving forward with the presumption of just presume that everything has been compromised and that you need to change your passwords. The problem with that is you need to make sure that the server has been patched before you change your password. So there are different websites you can find that will show you which ones have been patched or not. Like I know Yahoo is affected and hadn't been patched. If you change your password before they fix it, before they patch their servers, then it's
no good.
Yeah, it's no good as before. However, all of that being said, your username and password is probably not the target for it. People that are doing these kind of attacks are really fishing for the actual root certificate. So they're actually looking for the root SSL certificate keys so that they can then do man-in-the-middle attacks and phishing attacks.
And this has been around for 2 years.
2 years, yeah.
So if they haven't bothered you by now...
Well, it hasn't been known for 2 years. It was just it was a coding error that happened 2 years ago. This just now got published, right? But now people are actively hacking off of it. But a lot of people have patched it. Anyway, the point is, use common sense, right? I went and changed my password on anything that's important, right? So like my bank, as soon as my bank patched themselves, I went and changed that password. As soon as Twitter, Twitter wasn't affected, but things like that, things that where somebody could post. But all of these other little websites that I go to, where I log in and, to post to a message board, where I don't care about those things.
I decided I'm going to start using my LastPass account. I'll change the password, the master password, and then I will get all kinds of badass passwords that no one can guess on all of my other accounts. And then I couldn't remember my LastPass password. So I am still insecure.
Right. Now, Toppy Smelly says in the chat room, if I found those guys who did the Heartbleed, I'd punch them right in the nose. The person who is responsible for the Heartbleed bug is known. He's a programmer. And it was a mistake. This was not a malicious thing. It was simply a mistake in code that happened 2 years ago. No one had caught. So it was under the right circumstances, you could force a server to give up its active memory. It's a very weird technical kind of a hack that most journalists that have written about it have not gotten it right. So you're not in as much danger as they are leading you to believe, but if there is a site that you were on that has information that you consider to be very valuable, then yes, make sure that you change your password, but only after that site has patched themselves. And that's all there is to say about that.
Yes. Yay.
All right. Excellent. Then that is the end of the tech segment, which means that I do this.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it.
The news.
It's kind of strange. That was New Jersey resident Barrett Grinner's first thought when he checked his mail last week and found that one of the mail items was from his local county clerk's office was not for him. It was for his 5-year-old German Shepherd dog, Four. I don't know if his dog's name was Four or what, but anyway, he says, quote, I got the mail and I looked at it and I'm like, Four Griner. This is my dog's name. Who names their dog Four? It's literally the Roman numeral IV. That's the stupidest name for a dog. Anyway, so he says, I'm wondering, like, what is this? Something from the county office about her vaccinations or something? Like, why is my dog getting mail? The notice addressed from the Cumberland County Clerk of Courts was a juror summons for someone with the first name, Four, and the last name, Griner. The exact name, Barrett Griner, Four, says he legally gave, Barrett Griner, the fourth, says he legally gave to his dog. Maybe I should have named Sydney Five or something like that. Anyway, he says, quote, she's a female, so I named her Four without the Y. Oh, it's not Four. It's Ivy. I thought he named his dog like the Roman numeral IV, and he named her Ivy. Anyway, so Ivy without the Y as a sort of play on words. Somebody had to physically type in that name, and they didn't pay any bit of attention to it. As it turns out, the mix-up was actually due to a fairly common computer error. The county judiciary coordinator said the county's jury duty notices are computer-generated in district court offices in Trenton, New Jersey, and frequently include name errors. So, anyway. So I read... So basically,
that is hilarious! No, I'm sorry, I missed the whole thing.
This dog who got a jury summons like the whole story, I was calling it, I was like, why is this dog named four? Because it was the Roman numeral IV.
Oh, IV.
It's Ivy.
So it's Ricky Burton's dog, basically.
Anyway, this dog got a jury summons. That was it. I've heard of dogs getting like credit card offers and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, there's that one. This other one, Mark, I don't know if this is funny or just tragic or what, but Mark found this story. U.S. Airways may have single-handedly redefined the word blunder after posting a photo of a model plane being inserted into a woman's vagina on the company's official Twitter account.
Now, you know what? Go ahead. Finish. I'm sorry.
The photo has been removed after lingering for about an hour on its timeline, but that didn't stop social media users from screen capping and reposting it. Both BuzzFeed and Deadspin have posted the not safe for work image in its entirety on their sites. You can head there if you're interested in seeing the photo, but be warned, graphic content lies ahead. Based on the company's Twitter account, it seemed the airline was replying to two customers under the usernames Ellie Rafter and the Cat's Cat, who were unhappy with its service. And basically,
and
that's it.
The thing that gets me, though, is people keep trying to point, I mean, all the stories, which the, what is it, Airways, American Airways, or U.S. Airways?
U.S. Airways, sorry.
So it's like U.S. Airways PR department has just been all over this shit. They have put out, they have now got it into the public lexicon that this is a mistake, right? Oh, it was just a mistake that this happened, and, you know, I'm sorry. When someone complains about your service and your response to them is that you can follow, you can click here, and if you want to, you know, you can register and click here, and you show them a picture of a woman spreading her legs and shoving a model airplane up her twat, that is not a mistake. That picture was just not accidentally on someone's work computer in the directory right next to the U.S. Airways logo or something. That was intentional. Can we just drop the whole act? Like, oh, I don't know how that could possibly happen. It's like
they have to be firing whoever handles
I'm sure they are. But it's like the tweet actually read. Right. We welcome feedback, L. If your travel is complete, you can detail it here for review and follow up. And then it basically the link is to this picture of an airplane in the twat. It's just it was not a mistake. I don't understand why people are buying into, well, it was a mistake in a series of weird mistakes. Somebody's like, no, it was a mistake. Someone did that on purpose. Can we just own up to that? Can we quit being four? Anyway,
that's the news. And there are no birthdays.
Oh. So I went down and grabbed the tablet to play the birthday. All right, great. Excellent. I'm glad there are no birthdays, even though the thing on the Trello
it always says that.
We have birthdays. All right, well, then, excellent. In that case, then, we'll just move right on to...
3, 2, 1! Contact is the secret.
Excellent. We have a rash. Is that what they call them? A rash of celebrity deaths? Is that what do we call a grouping of? I have no idea what order these came in because you have listed these alphabetically. So I'm not really sure which one came in first. So we'll just start where they start, right? Here you go. This is our first one.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Arthur Cruiser. Just ringing celebrity death phone. Blanco, the white horse, most famous for playing Shadow Packs in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, dead. Bye.
Haven't we already said before that animals are not we're not doing animals?
I don't know who that is. I mean, I don't know what horse that is. He was on Lord of the Rings.
Blanco, yeah, he was like the white horse in Lord of the Rings that the elf rode in on,
like Gandalf's horse.
Yes, it was I guess, or it was in a dream sequence. I don't know what it was. No, stupid horse. All right, let's get to our next one here. Hello.
Hey there, it's Turnerpad, and I'm quite actually happy to be making this phone call because I'm actually listening to your show, your little show, right now, and I, excuse me, pardon me, I get to cut out fucking annoying little cunt bitch dog explorer, and I'm going to call and let you know that the savings and loan fraudster, Charles Keating, has died at age 90, and this dude made a lot of news, so... yeah, just give me the little trumpet sound. Okay, cheers. Bye.
Charles Keating. The best known, I guess, is it. Wasn't it like Charles Keating 5 or something? It was a scandal
that, really
that John...
Is that really a
celebrity, though? Well, yeah, in the sense that John Keating scandal was something that John McCain was involved in. I think so. John Keating... Let's see.
So I can't... I'm not in a position really to type in the chat room, but Carrie's son needs a kiss on his owie, which happens to be on his penis. She just would like everyone to know that, so I'm sharing.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't think that's a celebrity. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
there you go. Really, sorry, RT. I mean, not RT. I'm sorry. Sorry, Turnpad. You know, we're having to recoup our costs from this very expensive New York trip. So
it was. You know, it was expensive. Yeah. That
so we're just
true.
You can tell he's really tight with the old things. Now, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah. Hi guys. RT Cruiser, celebrity death phone. Very sad one. This Floyd, Miley Cyrus's dog. Dead. Bye.
Well, I almost was going to give that to him, but then I realized we said no. We weren't going to
say no animals.
Actually, you know what? We didn't say that. We gave Turnip Head $1 last week for Manticore the Tiger.
Yeah, but you knew who. No one would. Floyd? No one. Oh,
I heard
my God.
The story,
Floyd
but
died.
I don't know Floyd. That's true.
No one knows. No one knows Floyd. Next one.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Zone. Just listening to It's All About Me. George Carlin. Dead. Bye.
Oh, I just got that. I couldn't understand him when I listened to it the first time.
Yeah. George Carlin.
No, he died a long time ago.
Died a long time ago.
Oh, you know what? I want to say this. RT Cruiser, who's not in the chat room tonight, how dare you? But I want to say, RT, I will give you $1 if you call for something other than a celebrity death.
Ah, let's find out who this next call is.
Yeah, hi guys. Auntie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Comedian John Pinnett, dead at 50. Bye.
Yeah, John who?
I don't know that.
I do know this one. Yeah, this is the big. He was on Seinfeld. He was a doughy guy, kind of. I saw this the other day that he had died. I'm gonna I'll give him that.
Well,
one.
If they're on Seinfeld,
no, he was on something else too. He was. Let's see.
Did he die of being fat?
I think he died in his apartment, but I don't remember how.
I'm sure it was one of those fat things, like a heart attack. He got a cheeseburger.
What? No, why? John Pinnett is his name.
Cheeseburger stuck in his throat.
You know, he died in a hotel room. John Pinnett. I'm going to, how can I share this with you? I'm now screen sharing so you can see his picture. There. Can you see his picture?
I see black.
I see black.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Yeah, see, I don't. That's fine. We can give him $1, but I don't recognize that face.
Yeah, so it was John Pinnett. He was in Seinfeld, and he was in a couple of other things. But no, that's doable. He's a celebrity. We'll give him that one. All right, let's move on to our next phone call then.
Yeah, hi guys. I see Chris for the Celebrity Death Phone. Actress Mary Anderson, most famous for playing Mabel Merriweather in Gone with the Wind. Dead at 96. Bye.
96. Mary.
At least she's a... Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, Mary. Excellent. Let's see. We're just browsing right there. Wow, does anyone else call the death line?
No.
RT Cruiser? Let's find out. Let's go to our next one.
Hey, boys. It's Turnipet calling, and I'm letting you know that Mickey Rooney has died.
Indeed, Mickey Rooney did die.
I just want to say, I was wondering when he was going to die. Because
had him on Death Watch or something?
No, every time you saw that man in the past 30 years, he looked like he was 120. I mean, he could have been, every time I saw him, he looked so old. He's been looking old since he was not even old.
Now, I got an email from Scotty. Did you not get the voicemail email from Scotty?
Oh, God, I forgot to check the email.
Because he also reported this next one, and I don't know if you have the time, like the time code. Like, do you know the time code on that next one that RT Cruiser called in, and did Scotty beat him to it? I got this from Scotty on at 7 a.m. or 7:17 a.m. on April 8th.
This is... I don't see a next one after that. I do. Hold on. Is it the...
It's a fruit.
I don't even know who that is. Hold on.
It may not even work, but apparently somebody big in Australia.
No, I'm not sure. We could save it for next week.
All right, fine. We have to determine which one of these came in first. Our two Australians.
I'll have to go back and listen to these. There are so many calls from RT Cruiser.
Right. All right. Well, you know, we were gone for a week, so let's listen to this next one.
Yeah. Hi, guys. RT Cruiser for the celebrity death phone. Author Sue Townsend wrote the Adrian Mole novels. Dead at 68.
68. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
I don't read, so I don't know. All right, let's get to our last one here. Let's listen to this one, shall we?
Yes, celebrity death phone line, pro wrestling legend, The Ultimate Warrior, dead at 54.
Yes.
I guess he was born as James Brian Helwig, not to be confused with Hedwig in The Angry Itch.
Correct.
But, he's dead.
He's dead. Excellent.
Oh,
nice. I'm sorry, I completely stepped over his plug for a show. That was Christian from the Pleased to Meet You podcast. Yes, congratulations, Christian. You were entered into the contest, The Ultimate Warrior.
When we mention the word celebrity death phone, RT magically appeared in the chat room.
I know.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to our actual voicemails that came in this week.
Wow. When you listen to all those together, it kind of drags out.
Remember, RT, we will happily pay you a dollar if you call something other than the death phone. You know, not that we don't enjoy your calls for the death phone. I'm just saying you can call us for other things too. All right. Let's move on here. This is an actual voicemail that came in. Let's listen to it, shall we?
Hello. Oh my gosh, before I forget, I got to tell you guys, thank you for sharing your trip with us. That was just so awesome. I'm loving all the pictures or whatever. Actually, I was loving all the pictures until I saw that onion sandwich that I'm assuming Adam had it. Oh my gosh, talk about like a big bunch of onions. Like all of a sudden I started burping onions. Now, of course, you know if it was bacon, I wouldn't even be calling. Hello.
No.
Yeah. Bacon. I'm sure you guys are going to have bacon. You have to have bacon on this trip. You can't go anywhere and not have bacon. You got to have like bacon. Okay, if you're there for 4 days, 3 meals a day, 12, and then an extra meal each day because we're fatties. So 16 meals, there's got to be some bacon in there. Otherwise, the odds are against bacon. All right. Goodbye.
There is actually a restaurant in New York City called The Baconry, which Brian and Kevin have eaten at several times, and I wanted to eat there, but it was nowhere near anything where we were going to be.
Mark loves bacon.
It's on the
He's all about it.
Yeah, it's on the mid side of Central Park, so it's up near the museums and whatnot. So it wasn't anywhere near where we were going to be, but they have all kinds of things, including chocolate-covered bacon and bacon cookies and, all kind of fun bacon things. Anyway.
But do they have cumin-covered bacon? Because
they don't. They do not have cumin.
That is what I need.
Yeah. But, I had bacon on my cheeseburger at the counter, so, yeah, we did have bacon while we were there. Rest assured, we did have bacon. All right, let's move to our next voicemail.
Hey, Daniel, it's Bacon.
Hi,
oh,
Kathy.
Oh, my gosh, I just turned 400 miles today, and then I just saw your transparent hood pic video. No, thanks. I do not want a transparent vehicle, nor do I want a transparent house. People need places where they don't have to sit around sucking in their bellies. You know what I mean?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so anyway, I was in my car for 7.5 hours today.
Yes.
Driving round trip. And it's windier than windy here. It lasts too long. Oh, winter starts too early. Or, oh, winter never ends. Blah, blah, blah. It's so cold. No, no snow. Well, we've gotten really lucky because we did not get a lot of snow this year. But anyway, now it's spring.
Spring.
Spring has sprung in the Dakotas. And I swear there's like gusts of 40 miles an hour out there. I mean, I got the worst gas mileage with that gas hog ever. I can usually turn about 425 miles on a tank of gas.
Uh-huh.
I filled up when I was in Sioux Falls, and that, you know, obviously that was one way.
Obviously,
16 gallons just to go there. I didn't even look at
can
my
you
tank
believe
or whatever
it?
To
can
see
you
what
believe
was
it?
Left. But I think there's probably less of this. I'd probably have to go fill up and put 20 gallons in because I bucked the wind the whole entire way. So anyway. All right, well, goodbye. And no thank you to the transparent vehicle. So,
okay.
You know, pretty soon she's going to be calling in and reading her coupons to us like Fatty does on his podcast.
She
spent $35.10 and I saved
for those of you, for those of you who may be confused about what she's talking about with the transparent vehicle, I had posted a video, a promo, or a I guess it was a promo video that was put out by Range Rover of this system that they're testing that does a heads-up display on your windshield, but there is a camera mounted at the front of the vehicle. So the heads-up display actually, as you go up a steep incline, will actually show you the view from the camera, and it looks like your hood goes away, and you're seeing the road, and you're, and it digitally imposes the tires, so you can see the orientation of your tires. So it's it's a beta product that they were putting out in there, and I just thought it was cool because it's basically using heads-up technology to do basically augmented reality, right? So it's not actually making anything transparent. It's just putting a video up on your windshield that you then can see the road in front of you.
I don't want any of that. I'd be freaking my shit. I mean, seriously.
It was a very specific use case, right? It's for Land Rovers and stuff that are going through terrain so that you could actually see things in the terrain that you're going over when the incline is too steep, right?
And
so that you could see.
And don't people get like sick with that augmented reality stuff? Like you have to put like wet washcloths on your neck so you don't like
those are
get
you're talking about the original Oculus Rift visors and stuff. This is like a heads up display in front of you. So it's not right. The thing that makes thing that the original Oculus Rift, the things that made people nauseous about it was the delay between your head moving and then the motion inside the camera moving. So you would move your head and then it would take like two or three, you know, not even two or three seconds, like it would take 500 or 600 milliseconds before the tracking caught on, and so you always kind of felt like you were drunk because you would look one way and then it would be really sluggish and then you would overshoot it and whatnot. So it was very, they have fixed that, by the way. The new Oculus Rifts have fixed that. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Nobody does. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Let's move on to our final voicemail, and it comes in from guess who?
Kathy Bacon.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you guys are going to like this. Speaker. Get this. I'm getting really techy here. You guys are going to be, whoops. No, that's not what I wanted to do.
Yes.
All right, here's my message to my son. Going to bed, have a smashing good day tomorrow, which I stole from Christian. Pleased to meet you. And love you more than dip cones, nighty night. And he wrote, more than dip cone?
Yes.
Mom, I love you too, more than toaster strudel. So right after I typed it and hit send, I was like, oh, God, is that true? Did I put my son?
Her phone cut on like the punchline.
Punch,
I think.
Punchline, yeah.
Did she blank her son? That should have been the title of the show. Did she blank her son? It's like an old match game.
Her son, she says.
It's like an old match game. You know, with Gene Rayburn or whatever. Do we have that? Let's see. The match.
Everyone guess. Gene did I Rayburn. Blank? To my son.
Did I blank to my...
And if you can match the two celebrities...
Says Gene Blank. Okay, the answer they gave most often is worth $500 if you match it. If you match it next week, you get $250. And if you match the bottom one, you get $100. Whom do you call on for a little help here?
Richard. I was going to say Harlow, but
Gene
I'll
Harlow.
Say Rayburn.
You'll say Rayburn.
The old match game. I remember,
you know, and ironically enough, not that it really is ironic, Betty White was a fixture on that show.
She was, as was Dr. Joyce Brothers. So that was Match Game 75, which, by the way, we're done with our contact here. Thank you so much for all your phone calls. And I apologize for not having the tablet set up earlier in the show so we could have spread those celebrity death phones out throughout it. But regardless, let's get out of this. Excellent. I'm sorry. I couldn't mute. I was holding a tablet in one hand. I couldn't mute and I had to cough. Did you take care of the business that needed to be taken care of?
You mean what I just did?
I don't know. Did you? Okay, good. I didn't.
Okay. Yes, I did. Yes.
Excellent.
Almost. It was a close call. I'm going to tell you that right now.
It was. This clip that I was just playing is from Match Game 75. And I have to tell you that over the weekend when I was sick, I did very little other than just lay on the couch and watch movies because I just felt like crap. So I ran out of movies that I wanted to watch. By the way, have you seen The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with...
I haven't. I read somewhere that it was crappy.
What's his name? Why can't I think of his name? Ben Stiller.
Yeah, he was a museum, man in a
right,
museum.
Yeah, so I will tell you this. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller, the new one, is gorgeous. It is absolutely gorgeous. That film is the way they filmed it, the way they processed it, whatever they did, it is gorgeous. It is a gorgeous looking film. It sucks horribly. It is a god-awful film that has no life to it whatsoever, and it never goes anywhere and is just kind of like, you know, but it's gorgeous to look at. It's like an old episode of The Love Boat. It's really nice to look at, but it goes absolutely nowhere. But that was The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. I watched that one. I watched The Wolf of Wall Street, which unlike It's All About Me, I loved. I thought The Wolf of Wall Street was quite good. But it mixed into all of this. I was like, you know what? I'm tired of seeing these stupid, you know, these movies and everything. I want to see how far we've come. So I actually watched Airport 75 because it happened to be on HBO On Demand. So this is a 40-year-old movie, Airport 75, with Charlton Heston and...
I thought it might be one of those Leslie Nielsen ones. You know, he was making them all the way back then.
No, those were parodies. Those are airplane movies. These are the airport, the ones that they based the parodies off of, right? So it had a whole bunch of, like, really famous, like people in it that you might have heard of. But it was... They were all sweaty. It's like all the close-ups of like Charlton Heston and everything. He was sweaty and his teeth looked weird. And he's like, it's like, why are they all so sweaty? It's like they all had like this permanent sheen all over them from just like their sweat. And I was just like, what was it back in the 70s or was it just like a really sweaty time or something? What was it with all this?
The lights were just really hot.
I don't know what it was, but it was horrible. It was just, it was a god-awful movie. Every ism that you could possibly imagine was not only in this movie, but it was like proudly on display, like racism, sexism, ageism, all these things. They were just alcoholism. It was like all of these things. It's like every bad ism that you could possibly think of was celebrated in this film. Like you had three alcoholic people that were just like, you know, causing a scene on the plane. And they're white men. Just sit them down and make them go to sleep. It was just, you had Eric Estrada as the navigator up in the front, who was basically doing a really bad Mexican accent the entire time and calling people poppy and whatever. It's just, and then basically just hitting on the stewardess the entire time.
Yeah.
And the entire premise of this movie, I just wanted to tell you, the entire premise of this movie was that it was a woman that was flying the plane, and that's why they had to like go through all these gyrations to get somebody. She'll never be able to figure that out. She's a woman. it was a god awful movie.
So,
but I watched it.
Calling someone poppy.
Yes.
J-Lo has a new song out.
Oh, God.
It's called I Love You, Poppy.
No, I Love Ya.
I Love Ya, Poppy.
Love Ya. Yeah.
So, that is how far we've come. We had movies that had every ism, and then now, and thank God, in 2014, we have such wonderful music as I Love Ya, Poppy.
You know what?
What?
You ain't fooling. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus. That's 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com. You know, I forgot to ask you if you were caught up on It's All About Me.
Don't ask.
I expect you to be caught up by next week because they did talk about you on this past episode. A fun fact about Airport 75, Jerry Stiller was in that film. He was one of the drunk white guys. Jerry Stiller is Ben Stiller's father, so I not only watched...
he was the dad on Seinfeld, too.
Yes, but he's in real life, he's Ben Stiller's father. So I watched Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller, but I also watched Airport 75 with Jerry Stiller.
And we also talked about Seinfeld earlier in the show. So look,
my God, it's all tying together. It's amazing. We're just the most cohesive podcast in the universe. Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
Yeah, hi guys, RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. This one actually happened yesterday during the show, so someone else has probably already run in. But Charles Keating Jr., infamous banker responsible for the big savings and loans collapse in the 80s, dead at 90. Bye. Yeah, hi guys, RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. This is a big one, probably at least a $3. Mickey Rooney, dead at 93. Bye.
Manx here for the Celebrity Death Phone. Mickey Rooney has died at 93. I'm sure I'm not the first of probably dozens to call it in, but figured I'd give it a shot. Manx again with Chaotic Ravings for the Celebrity Death Phone. The Ultimate Warrior, pretty well-known professional wrestler in the early 90s, just died 2 days after being inducted in the Hall of Fame. So that was an eye-opener.